going back to the unfairness and knowing, how we or should we disassociate from when we are in the environment, a conducive environment? For example, this is a good Dharma talk, a sunny day, a good group of Dharma friends. Do we, you know, that is good, but then how, just to see how this associate with the topic we discussed just now.
Well, even though the wholesome and the noble, if the mind attaches to it and clings to it, it's going to be a cause of suffering. Being with good people, a crowd of interested Dharma friends on a beautiful spring day, if the mind grasps that, it turns it into a headache very easily. Oh, it was so good last Sunday, I hope it's going to be like that next Sunday. If you seek for security in that which is insecure, you're bound to suffer. I was quoting Lumbhachara at the beginning. So we can recognize that things are delightful or wholesome or gladdening to the heart. Yes, but wholesome and noble things, if they're attached to or identified with or owned, the mind grasps us, then it becomes a source of dukkha right there. It's like in Venerable Ajahn Mun's Ballad of Liberation for the Five Khandhas, one of the passages from it is, wanting what's good without stop, that's a disease of the mind.
I think it's also important to recognize that the solution is not wanting, in the sense of pushing any kind of recognition, trying to flatten every experience out so that you're somehow in some idealized form of me being the knower. There's still a recognition of what's beautiful, what's not beautiful, what's pleasant, what's not pleasant. But I think it's also tempered with wisdom so that one recognizes what is useful and what is not useful, what's beneficial and not beneficial, what is skillful and what's not skillful. Those are more the categories that one is paying attention to, because something can be very beautiful and also be skillful. Like, this is a far more beautiful hall than the old one. And you put a lot of more effort and attention into making it happen, and it's incredibly skillful. The benefit is going to be for, you know, hundreds of years, really.
Hopefully.
Yeah. If it doesn't burn down, then
we'll
let you know.
So what Lumpo Sana was saying about sometimes there can be a kind of enthusiastic idea. Oh, yeah, being the knowing, that's it. Lumpo Sumedho was explaining that. I'm just going to be the knowing. And you create this kind of idea of embodying this abstracted, aware thing that then you become out of harmony with all the people around you. You become a real pain in the neck, essentially. You're trying to be detached. It's me practicing detachment. One of the characteristics of someone like Lumpo Cha and Lumpo Sumedho is that very down to earth, very straightforward, uncomplicated. They are embodying that quality of awakened awareness, but like Lumpo Cha would say, live simply, be natural. It's not sort of trying to be in any kind of special, super mindful, aware, detached state, because then it's the mind holding on to an idea of it and then is born into that idea. I often tell the story that this fellow who was part of a Buddhist group here in England, and he was very, very sincere, and he was asking this question about how he could maintain his practice in his daily life. He was actually a police officer with a young family, and he said, you know, Ajahn, it's really tough. I'm trying to be mindful, but my family give me all this grief. And I said, why is that? You know, I thought maybe they're sort of devout Christians or there's some other kind of issue. He says, well, like, you know, I'm trying to be mindful, but they keep saying, you know, hurry up, Dad, we've got to get the bus. And I said, well, when you say being mindful, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, like at breakfast time, I want to make my tea in a mindful way. So I'm very aware of picking up the milk bottle, and I could just sort of see this kind of scenario happening, and these two teenage kids going, "Dad, will you stop being mindful? Come on, we've got to get the bus, you know. We want the milk for our cereal as well." So very sincere. I'm not trying to belittle him, but very sincere. But he'd taken mindfulness, or this kind of cultivating this mindful awareness, as doing everything sort of hyper carefully, and in, you know, everything very, very slowly and super deliberately. Where if you're around someone like Lumpur Cha, that kind of naturalness and sort of ease in every situation was one of the most... I didn't spend a lot of time around him. Lumpur Pasanna was many, many years in close proximity, and I had a much less contact. But just seeing how he functioned, it was like, live simply, be natural. It was like extremely straightforward and ordinary and uncomplicated. But there was that quality of presence and attention to what was going on. Lumpur Cha was incredibly observant. He noticed everything going on around him, but he wasn't sort of doing everything in slow motion or in a hyper careful or sort of ultra deliberate way. So that is a point. The idea of awareness is not awareness. That genuine attunement of the citta, the heart, to the present reality is what we would mean by awakened awareness. We can take the idea of it, or be the memory of it, and hang on to the idea or the program, but be missing the reality, not being aware of that your kids are getting really annoyed with you. If you're being really mindful, you'd speed up a bit and just do things at a more natural pace.